most people actually move on their.
Over the weekend in a different context, another hearing, and notice the number of counties actually have a one-year approval period, and it's shorter than the two set by rule. So I think a lot of counties do different things.
We need to move several of the June items around
and
people's time schedules.
I'm sorry,
57,
I'm
Department of Higher Education, University of Oregon, Austin Stadium.
This is Senate Bill 724, which means it's been in the hopper for a long time. People who are paid to lobby this building have had plenty of time to review the fact that Senate Bill 724 existed. And it's 8:35, and three people who have had plenty of time to get to me to tell me that they didn't like the bill or had issues with the bill or surprise attacking this, and we could have probably been working on amendments if there would have needed to be amendments. That's making me a little bit irritable. Second problem making me a little bit irritable is the fact that you keep referring to 12 years.
Planning and budgeting for the Oregon University.
We're calling that the 4 years
and on behalf
is an extension
that
you make 12. You don't automatically get 12 unless your extension's been granted, which means it's 8. 8 is a lot different than 12, at least as far as the new math goes.
Austin Stadium at the
I think there have been significant issues within the counties where people have not always been granted an extension willy-nilly. Or in this case, would suggest they would be given a free extension, which would extend it to 12 years.
Thank you, Chairman.
So let's talk herring to herring here of 8 years with 4 year extension.
University of Oregon,
I don't know if three of you, because I haven't talked to three of you about this bill, have been to places such as Sam's Valley or Rouge
and expansion
Junction. But I don't think the Hyundai Clinic is going to get located in any of those three areas anytime soon. And it's a little frustrating the constituents where I represent. They would just be driving and you'd see a pretty house for someone who's got to the time and either restored a farmhouse or built something that's nice.
You
go down the road just a little bit further and find a 1968, what do they call those things, Sunbeam single wide, laying out in the pasture,
getting
around this particular 2 year window. It's not very pretty. It doesn't do things very nice for my community. It doesn't make the community look any better. And these are areas that people want to live in. People, including me.
Private gifts, stadium revenues, and the Article 11 F bonds.
So anyway, I think that's my frustration. I don't like last-minute attack. I really
don't. As stated in our
really
original
don't.
Request, the increased stadium
this
revenue generated by the
plenty of time for you all to get back to me with your thoughts and concerns. I'm a pretty easy guy to work with. I think I am, at least around the building. I've worked in amendments with people all the time to make sure people are happy. Here we are now at 8:37. Talking about red herrings.
With the increased revenue funding that currently helps support athletics, will be phased out and is committed to support
what
academic
Senator Atkins,
this project enjoys broad-based support from our campus community, alumni, and fans throughout the state.
Work
I might add, closing that
go back
direct construction costs for the stadium expansion is estimated at $72 million,
comment.
Much of this will be paid
to
in-state firms and much of that to payroll. During the peak period of construction, as many as 600 people will be working on this project.
And just putting up
the state should receive income tax revenues generated from this project.
And
an estimated 48,000 additional people each season
will
attend Oregon football games, providing a significant boost to the
financial situation
and our community's economy.
Stock market ups and downs.
This project is a win for everyone,
surgery,
and we are very appreciative of your consideration of this important and timely request.
They crop up.
Thank
you. There's a dozen and one things, and we've just had a plate full of people that have been frustrated that bought property where they had a right to do something and had the rules changed and stuff like that before they were able to get out and
actually fulfill that. And I don't have a good problem giving people a little bit of time on this. I think probably if the truth were known, what the counties and some of the jurisdictions are worried about is it's going to cut down considerably on the amount of time they can get a fee out of somebody.
I do intend to move this bill, and so if you folks to get involved with Senator Rex, we're trying to work out amendments. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 724 and open the public hearing on Senate Bill 725.
Okay. We're lacking one member of the Senate here, but we'll go ahead and cut the motion.
The land evaluation and site assessment system to evaluate.
Chairman, now move that we adopt the LFO recommendation to approve the increase in expenditure in the commissioner. Any discussion? Any objection? It's been so good.
Don Schoenberg and Herb Rosen.
Would you like to share this?
And Mark Holman.
Thank you.
We have four chairs.
We're going to go back and we can make it official right now.
This is a expenditure limitation. We're approving the recommendation.
Excuse me, what was the last name?
No further objection.
Mike Kerr.
I'm going to recognize Representative Doyle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Don Schoenberg, Associate Director of Government Affairs for the Oregon Farm Bill. I'd like first to thank Senator Atkinson for introducing this bill on our behalf. Like the senator and many of you, we believe that our land use planning system is not perfect and the changes are needed to make it effectively meet the needs of the citizens of our state.
By your presence
here, the purpose of Senate Bill 725 is to suggest that there is at least one tool available for local planning commissions that will assist them in making reasoned decisions during periodic evaluation of their county comprehensive plans. We suggest to you that when many counties originally adopted their county plans, there was little experience, a lack of time, and a shortage of funds at the local level. As a result, you and us both are contacted by constituents pointing out land that appears to have been incorrectly zoned. Land evaluation site assessment system, commonly referred to as.
We're trying to move rapidly through the agenda items here this morning.
Expertise to identify factors that encourage or discourage a particular land use such as agriculture. The factors are then weighted and applied to a parcel to determine its relative value for the land use compared to other parcels for the same land use. Let me emphasize that while LESA system is applied on a parcel by parcel basis, we're not suggesting, nor would we support using the system to simply change the zoning on individual parcels. The system is flexible in that you can have different factors and different weights for parcels in different geographic locations in the county. Then you can create a second level of analysis that compares large groups of parcels. We believe that would be important and critical in order to keep consistent with the agricultural legislative policy on land use in order to 15.243. That, and that policy calls for farmland to be protected in large blocks. We believe the status of the clean technology enhances the ability to do that. It would be wrong to require very good farmland to remain in farm use when it is surrounded by a housing development.
That feasibility
just as it would be incorrect to allow a housing development on a small piece of very poor farmland that is surrounded by commercial farming activity. You'll notice on line 29 of the bill, if you happen to have it there in front of you, that the language
a copy of the report only is attached to the letter that was submitted to the committee,
local governments to apply this system. And there are two reasons for that language. First, we're mindful of the budget and the law that requires state governments to pay for programs that it requires local governments to implement.
Let me just briefly
and second, we're suggesting that this is only one of a number of tools that the local government can use when conducting an evaluation.
Traditional
we happen to believe
program,
that it's a very good tool
there are sort of three
and that it is worthy
that,
of legislative
tend to
statutory
be a,
recommendation.
The first one has to do with
I'm pleased to have several people with me today. Two of them were agricultural producers, Mr. Kerr and Mr. Palman.
As an illustration, What I have before you, on the far end, papers here, is
the third person is Professor Herbert Huddleston from Oregon State University. I believe that you were provided with a report that documents the experience of the use of the LISA system by Wayne County. And not only was Professor Huddleston a co-author of that report, and I may be incorrect about your technique and its corrections, I mean, he also had a hand in developing the LISA system, maybe not, if not in developing, at least maybe reorganizing it or improving it in some manner, and you can comment on that. He may want to make any comments that correct mistakes that I've made this morning in this short period of time, but he's also here available to answer philosophical and technical questions regarding the program. Thank you for the opportunity to appear here today, and Mr. Chairman, for scheduling Senate Bill 725. I appreciate that very much. I would be open for questions at this time if you want to do that, or if you want Mr. Huddleston to make some comments, and then we'll take the other gentlemen in the order we have them on the
Whatever schedule you want to use, I'd prefer to hold the questions and tell you all through them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then, Mr. Huddleston, do you have comments you would like to make regarding this program, or
the
interruptions
that about a month and a half
mistakes that I've made?
To get their information
let me just
back
take a few comments. My name is Herb Huddleston. I'm an OSU extension specialist, and I worked with Dr. Keyes in the geography department at OSU back in the mid-80s.
So there's better information.
Well, timely
information.
Correction. This is originally a soil conservation service. Now
the report indicates
protocol, and we simply worked to implement that on a trial basis
spring.
In
did an evaluation
of Oregon counties back
the information
in the mid-80s.
In here. Basically, what we found was that
my role here is not to testify either for or against this bill, but to simply provide a resource for you to ask questions about the technical merits
and the staff in the school
protocol.
Also see the benefits.
I can talk about its advantages and some of the disadvantages. So I'm really here as a resource person.
The other thing is in the feasibility study that you've
seen, to deliver whatever information you may.
The contractor who put together our initial feasibility study went back to look at the objectives and the features of the system that we try to identify for this program and get an analysis to see whether or not it's
resolved.
Mr. Chair, we'll in fact those objectives, and basically their conclusion is that we are on track.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I'm Mark Collin. I reside at 8258 Loretta Fork Road, next door.
The other thing I want to point out, I suppose, is that the reason we're able to do this in the first place is the result of legislative action,
the Farm Bureau, which includes Lane County, and Douglas County.
Session that allocated funds to provide the connectivity to all the schools
for the rest
in the state, even the most remote schools,
one of those
have the access
especially
to the internet
when it comes
that
to preservation of productive agricultural land.
Basically, we take it to
the
school,
lands
and a big part of this project is working with the schools in the district
and
in making sure
that
the system
within
the school
in the 28 years
can handle this.
State
and
that,
that is where a lot of our
land
work is going on right now,
site assessment, NISA,
and
define and inventory the agricultural lands that should and need to be preserved.
Fall, we'll add another 100 schools in January.
In Lane County,
in March,
farmers
and
the aggregate industry
have
been at odds over the development
work
of a new standing gravel site.
Make sure that the equipment works fine.
Farmers are concerned about
the
dust,
inside those
traffic,
schools are working fine,
effects
and
that mining may have on the water table.
The system will work. So the ramping
on the other
up
hand,
of it is
the aggregate industry
a more
has much right to be in business as farmers and ranchers.
This
very conflict between aggregate and agriculture shouldn't exist.
Okay.
The use of the LISA system can be defined
not
whether or not the lands in question should be zoned for agriculture, and then the LISA system can be used again to determine if the land should be zoned for sand and gravel sites. Owners and buyers would know up front whether the lands are an exclusive farm unit, zoned, or in an agricultural aggregate. The LISA system is an analytical tool that was created to assist in identifying farmland. However, LISA can be adapted
Sure, would you like a demo in the future?
No.
All right, it's very discussion.
Return zones and wetlands.
Not as good.
As well as evaluating land suitability for urban rural development.
Item 62, Department of Revenue.
Seems that every 2 years, the legislature has confronted with tens, if not hundreds, of bills relating to land use law.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the record.
To me, this is an indication of something that's missing in our land use planning.
Here today, asking for an increase in our other funds expenditure limitation of $926,902 to cover the administrative costs associated with issuing the
My name is Mike Kerr. I'm a farmer and a nurse
and
this is here in the Salem area.
That's right.
The Oregon Farm Bureau Land Use Advisory Committee. I'm asking you to vote in favor of this bill. Senate Bill 725 is not the answer to all the problems and controversies that currently plague our land use planning system, but it would serve as a good first step in addressing one of the major flaws, both real and perceived, in the zoning of exclusive farm use land. As member of Oregon Farm Bureau's Land Use Planning Committee, I've heard many comments and anecdotal stories about land that's been miszoned in Oregon. With millions of acres zoned in the EFU in this state, essentially all land outside the urban growth boundary that's not zoned for forest land, it stands to reason that some of this land may not be productive agricultural land. At the same time, we're losing thousands of acres of very productive agricultural land to non-farm uses. Encouraging, and personally I'd insert the word require, counties to utilize the leasing system during periodic review would eventually provide policymakers with the information necessary to evaluate and effectively carry out the farmland zoning component of the Oregon land use planning system.
We have other checks to send out.
While I have no direct experience with properly zoned EFU land, we've all witnessed the results of property owner perception that their land is miszoned. The secondary land concepts that have increasingly popped up the past legislative session are one example. On the basis of defining and segregating secondary lands within the EFU would address the miszoning issue. Unfortunately, in my opinion, secondary lands proposals do nothing more than substitute another set of arbitrary standards in place of the current system. The leasing system appears to be an excellent method of evaluating the productivity and agricultural value of a parcel or group of parcels. The result of county mapping utilizing the leasing method would be the verification or elimination of the miszoning argument. I do have a great deal of experience with land that is correctly zoned, EFU that is designated by non-farm uses, with no distinction made within the EFU zone with regard to the relative productivity and agricultural value of a parcel or area. Many non-farm uses are sited on our very best farmland. As an example, Mission Bottom is an incredibly productive farm area of a few thousand acres that lies just north of Salem on the Willamette River.
Go ahead and start that.
Soils, abundant water, and the ability to grow almost any agricultural crop. It's one of the gems in Oregon agriculture. But in the past few decades, we've lost hundreds of acres to non-farm uses, such as aggregate mines and parks, with many more hundreds of acres slated for conversion with proposals for additional parks, wetlands, bike paths, natural treatment, sewage systems, municipal water well fields, and additional aggregate mines in the works. This area is fairly small in size, geographically contained, and within short driving distance of Salem is an excellent example of a system gone awry. We have not been successful in convincing legislature that non-farm use is allowed in the exclusive farm use zone or detrimental to agriculture.
At taking law enforcement permitted, training in particular from the 8 weeks that we were present.
We have not been successful in making the case that the exclusive farm use zone is rapidly degenerated into the
exclusive farm use zone. During that time, the national average has gone to 22
Apparently, the demand to cite non-farm uses in EFU is exceeding the collective will to prevent it. But we are hopeful that if the non-farm use must be cited in EFU, with the information generated from county mapping of the farm zone utilizing the leasing method, policies will be
when we were asked by the
decision
maker
to weigh the relative agricultural value of alternative sites and tighten up policy to protect our very best farmland. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning, and I ask that you support Senate Bill 725.
Any questions from the committee?
Our board, and then was presented to a prior legislative session.
My question, I think it's
we were instructed
professor.
To follow that
strategic
business plan in order to implement
the model.
Training
so
tasks that would accommodate all of our disciplines
federal clean air
and
clean water
also get
laws.
Into the 16 weeks of law enforcement training. We were also directed
well,
to conduct an extensive review of state-owned property as well as privately owned property
by local
and see what would be the efficiencies of remaining at Western Oregon University.
System can be as comprehensive
we accomplished
and
that by implementing a number of advisory committees, one of which was a core facilities group, which was individuals representing each of our disciplines, police, corrections, firefighters, parole probation, and telecommunicators. And they agreed to work with us basically on a weekly basis to
do the nuts
and bolts of what was needed, what needed assessment needed to occur.
County,
we also had a facilities steering committee made up of approximately 20 individuals
in practice,
that were executives selected by the association
to look at
representing those
the land,
in other words, the association,
whether it should be zoned EFU or whether it's EFU or perhaps another use.
All those folks,
the broader perspective taken in terms of cost of taxpayers if we do develop
not only their entities, but to give us a
an area that might not be sustainable for development. Was that Midland?
Yeah, Senator Becker, that's a good question. The LISA system is an information gathering tool.
That group met on a monthly basis, and they oversaw the work that was done by the core group, by our staff, and by the consultants that we brought on. They have worked continuously with us and will continue throughout this project.
Ability to make reasoned choices.
Representative Helm.
In the case of Linn County, we worked on a research project with them
moment,
and people
but,
in Linn County to develop that.
At this point in time, we've had
effort.
A couple expenditures.
If my memory is correct, at the same time, Linn County did not adopt this as any kind of an official order or any official part of their
staff allowed us to place on staff to help.
So we simply
this
worked
process.
With them to develop
a
tool, which they then use in part for information gathering.
And
that's as far as it went, I think.
We came
on that,
back and got $400,000 to help with site selection and reviews. And our last request was for
$70,000. I'm going to ask your indulgence because we have several colleagues here. My house, so I'd like to get on. This is probably that last question I asked this panel. Real quickly, just provide an example of how the LISA system would potentially or could work in a situation in which you have, I'm thinking of the situation where I represent this town of Central Point. You have beautiful
I received a letter from Senator Yee alleging that
that's very loose words, but you have development next to the best land. A mile away, you have what is traditionally called
the zone EFU.
Explain how the system would evaluate a section of that.
Being
perhaps
delayed,
the movement
that would be delayed, but my
putting
question is,
perhaps growth.
Will the project manager on board with the site selection group tell me why
very quickly, if
places
can,
like
seed homes the system
and
land evaluation
still left
really
out of
the characteristics of the soil?
You have in the kind
the second part, site assessment, in our experience, was mainly with conflict.
Senator Hanner, Senator Carter,
the balance between
it's a little bit difficult for me to understand that from the beginning of the process, we met with
the local committees that must develop this have to weigh the various
number of times they were invited to the steering committee
criteria that go into evaluating both the quality of the soil for a given use,
verify that we had accurate
character of the surrounding land use.
I think in retrospect, especially as it related to Sweet Home, in the final
analysis
where we're in this since May, we were asked to relate the project and give more consideration to
the local jurisdiction.
We focused with the assistance of our consultants on the high-risk areas. As we did that, especially as it related to the Scapa Bay property, we spent most of our time as the project manager working with the property owner directly. The issue in Sweet Home is the extent of the environmental cleanup on this old industrial site.
Thank you very
much. Property owners had contracted with Kennedy James to review a portion of the site and
identify
the entire but we waited
basically
until October 3rd.
On
we were told
2967,
July that we would have those final reports with
speaker,
us until October 3rd, and we were in constant communication with them.
Representative Smith, come forward.
In retrospect, perhaps
and
what we should have
Speaker Simmons,
is
I apologize. You stuck in behind me. I was looking all over the room for you.
Know that we were working with the property owners.
I would have had you on sooner had I known you were heading up here with us.
And they
you blended right in. Does that mean you're going to be a senator someday?
The community list. They had their share of that on the
Thank you, Chair, and I remember this committee, and thank you for allowing this opportunity and your indulgence to come in and test
when we first,
House and I'll be fairly brief. I am Mark Simmons, Speaker of the House, Texas Senate District 58. Here to lend my support to the bill. As you recall, we passed a similar bill last year.
So we did go out and actually make
met with the governor's veto. And part of the justification was that information from our DFW to tell us that we already had authority to authorize it. And then come to find out that they did not. And so this session, we had a bill identical to this, but when the House
that we needed to have adequate space, that was essential.
And we have
the other thing that's
bill.
Essential is that we did not delay the process any longer.
Since May 18, the number of close encounters between humans and predators in Oregon have escalated exponentially. I can give you a lot of stories of people from home who had food land on the woodpile, food land on the edge of the yard where the children play, out by the car at the bus stop, and on. And
to get to 16.
This bill would simply allow people the opportunity to defend themselves from threats by an animal cougar, not being pursued by hunters. Previously, they were pursued with the hounds, and even then, we had a growing population. We're not doing that anymore, and the population has gone up at an extreme rate. And as they lose their fear of humans, they begin to view humans as
West Tech Engineering here today, met with their city planners and the engineers to have this
are out doing what cougars do. Other states have had fatalities of cougars. I don't want to see that in Oregon. This is a very modest step to allow people some opportunity to defend themselves to take the situation arise and they feel it necessary to do
so.
I know that one section of the bill
generated
a little bit of controversy in line 23, lost the way of human displaced repeated sightings of the animals during the day near
the letter to the legislature.
That's
the
very typical an animal who is not afraid of you anymore will be around. And if he's not afraid of you, he's more likely to be afraid than if he is afraid of you. I spent a lot of time in the wilderness in northeast Oregon and have only seen one cougar. My entire time up there, the otter bound people as much. And so they're more aware.
But
if one came around camp repeatedly, I think he came around where my horses were, I would feel compelled to defend myself or my animals.
When your people talk to you about things,
they're more likely to distribute those characters, to exhibit those characters around town.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I've done a lot of reporting.
In response, Senator Carter, your concern, I'm one of those, I represent one of those communities, and I don't share the same opinion of public involvement that Director Middle does. I have my city manager from Step Boots here, who I'm sure would be happy to discuss with the committee where he asked our community's response to this process. I think there are two problems here, and I want to try to address the questions that I asked the director and the comments I share with the committee. To address it from a legislative perspective, because it's my observation, we have a very flawed process here that has in effect asked three little communities that are desperate for jobs to plead for jobs for a decision that was already made a long time ago. And it has put three little communities through, I think, a cynical and cruel process. It has asked them to use a political collateral. It has asked them to use staff time and real money for engineers for a decision that was made a long time ago. And so I know from attending the public meeting in Scappoose where 150 people showed up. And to the degree there was public input saying, yes, we'd like to be considered, the department got that. But as far as participation with the cities at a lower level of I can't. effect, asked three little communities that are desperate for jobs to plead for jobs for a decision that was already made a long time ago. And it has put three little communities through, I think, a cynical and cruel process. It has asked them to use up political collateral. It has asked them to use staff time and real money for engineers for a decision that was made a long time ago. And so I know from attending the public meeting in Scappoose where 150 people showed up that to the degree there was public input saying, yes, we'd like to be considered, the department got that. But as far as participation with the cities at a lower level of detail, I can't subscribe to Director Middle's characterization that this was an inclusive, comprehensive process. I am very disturbed by the process, and it is my contention that a flawed agency process should not be rewarded by this legislature with permission to proceed ahead until number irregularities are reconciled and until their satisfaction that we have delivered to the state of Oregon a process that they, that the citizens can be proud of and the legislature can be proud of. I don't dispute the outcome of Salem as a site if there was a fair process, and I want to make that absolutely clear. But I don't think there was a fair process at all.
Biddle, can you talk a little bit about, I think, the two tracks that I had understood this decision process was moved along? One was having to consider state lands, and then two, just looking at the viability of each of the sites and what process you went through and kind of the conclusion you did. And I think to answer Representative Johnson's concern that Salem was identified long before, the process that we went through. And I understood.
Senator Hand, Representative Doyle, the process was in essence two tracks, and that was by direction of the budget note that we received. As I'm sure you know, you're required as a state agency under state statute to look at available state property before you can actually acquire any additional private property. So because of the timeline we were on and because of that budget note direction that we looked at those two entities, we did the process simultaneously. So the Department of Administrative Services Facilities Division made a request of all state agencies to identify any property that they currently own that would meet our needs. There was only one piece of property that was identified that was Department of Corrections property here in Salem, out by Oregon State Correctional Institution. We then, with the assistance of the Attorney General's office, put out a request to agencies all over, communities all across the state to find out, did anyone have property that would potentially meet our needs, and we described that. And then the steering committee and the core work group created a criteria for how they would screen those properties and determine which would truly meet our needs. And that criteria included everything from environmental issues and land zoning issues to actually some operational issues because of the unique way that we do operate, which is by using part-time instructors who are truly full-time public safety officers. So we have to have enough of those to get the job done, which meant they were truly focusing in the Willamette area. When we began, we were strongly encouraged to look statewide because other sightings for state agencies had received some difficulties, and they knew we were on a tight timeline, and so we should keep real open and looking at where else we might have to be if we could not find something to accommodate us in around the Willamette Valley. So that process began. We went through that. Those rankings occurred. I think there were three of them. The first one, we received 12 communities and one state-owned piece of property. Those were screened using the initial criteria. This is seven. We went out and did site reviews and talked with most of the communities. And in fact, it was during that first site visit when
I believe it was Representative Johnson, and I'm not sure the other person was, withdrew the Gatford site. We later were very happy to put that back in and review it further. We then categorized them again, and we had four remaining sites at that point. We then did more analysis on those sites, and during that period of time, the engineers went out and met with the city planners and city engineers in each of those communities and talked about infrastructures and roads and looked at the property to determine if we had floodplain issues or wetland issues and those kinds of things. So that's the process. They were ranked again. At that point in time, we notified legislative leadership that it appeared that the Salem site would be the preferred site. At that point in time, however, the Salem site did have issues just like the Salem site was logging site.
Just a minute. Representative Hill.
The Skepus site, from the report that came back, in the report that it indicated that there was an internal site.
When we first did those screenings, we listed everything that we learned about those sites. And we had people indicating to us that there were Indian burial sites in and around that property. We never got to resolving those issues because what we did is when we got to the last four sites, we focused on the high risk issues rather than all the secondary issues.
So that never played into anything, even though that's unfounded. I'm just curious, because if you have flawed reports, and I'm trying to understand in terms of the decision process, where you go out and you spend money on consultants to give you good information, and you get a report back, and you look at the report, and now you're telling me that you didn't look at those issues, and it was some other issue, even though the report isn't even correct. So I'm just questioning, you're looking at bad information, but you're telling me you didn't look at that bad information to make whatever decision you made.
That initial report was done during an initial screening, and those factors, frankly, when we got down to looking at the four sites, were immaterial. What we were looking at was the high-risk areas that would prevent us either from building there ever or would significantly delay the timeline. For Skepus, the issue was the land zoning. It's exclusive farm use. We are not allowed use on exclusive farm use, and we did not fit with any of the recognized exceptions. Also outside of the UGB, our other concern was that the property had been in litigation for 20 years over the mining. It appeared that some of those issues may or may not get resolved in time, but it was very clear from talking with our Attorney General that the land use issues could not be resolved quickly. There would be delay in resolving them. For Sweet Home, the primary issue was the environmental concerns, as well as some of the geotechnical. It had been a mining community. They had done the study. It did show that there was contamination in specific areas. We had experts look at that report, and they advised that in the areas they tested, it was reasonably accurate, but they were very concerned with the number of areas that had not been reviewed for potential high-risk long-term for Monmouth, there was really only one issue, maybe a tiny bit of another one, and that had to do with the amount of property that was available. When the city put forward its proposal, it had 171 acres, which was wonderful, but unfortunately there was an unwilling seller in a part of that property. The other problem it had was it has a huge floodplain issue through 50% of the property, but it would need that unwilling seller's property to be able to mitigate that to make the property usable. The other concern it had was that the immediate neighbors to that site were very vocal in their opposition to that site. While the rest of the community was definitely supporting it, we tried to see if there was any alternatives in that area. We tried to see if the combined things with what the university had, and frankly, it wasn't working, and I think they began to realize that for a while. For Salem, initially we had wetlands and floodplain issues, but the actual location has been
we've had to go out and search other areas of the state to facilities.
I don't think the concern has been law enforcement so much as it's been prisons. And when we met with the communities around there, they were actually quite pleased that we would be above
Ms. Biddle, I'm going to interrupt you. We have Senator Reed here, Representative Johnson. Would you like to get into the witness?
We need to move this along.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Senator Maine, you There is a 300-acre industrial site owned by Morse Brothers adjacent to the Willamette Industries Sweet Home site, and Sweet Home is willing to negotiate with Morse Brothers to offer 50 more acres if this is what the director believes the Sweet Home site is short of. The additional acreage should help meet DPSST's concerns regarding inadequate size and still be competitive in cost. Additional property would minimize the delay for conducting environmental cleanup. It is unfortunate that DPSST has been conducting their meeting and making decisions without public. Not only is there potential immediate savings to the site in Sweet Home, there is also long-term economic benefits considering Sweet Home's 7.9% unemployment rate compared to Salem's 4.3% unemployment rate and Sweet Home's average wage level of $23,000 compared to Salem's average wage level of $38,000. Considering Oregon has the second highest unemployment rate in the nation, and the 2001 legislature committed $150 million lottery bonds to help rural communities to build up their infrastructure.
infrastructure. In order to attract industry, we need to be more thorough and complete in our investigation. We want to make sure rural communities are given a fair chance in our decisions for the best interest of the state economy. There's also reduction in social costs, such as unemployment benefits, alcohol and drug treatment, and welfare costs that are related to high unemployment in rural communities. I understand DPSSC's concern that the government may significantly delay the project, but are we going to continue an unfair process and face potential criticism and public ill will that may cause even longer delays and loss of trust in government? Or is it going to be more important to take the time and do it right? Let us compare the facts with accurate data under the same circumstances, for both short and long-term benefits of the state and a fair, unbiased, along with the Department of Administrative Services, the Sweet Home City Manager and Sweet Home is here today, operating the Senate Motor Pool. This interim committee, which is comprised of members from the legislature, representatives from the Department of Administrative Services, and the Motor Pool, along with the representatives from labor. The committee is in charge of studying the possible benefits contracting out a very small portion of the more than 10,000 that they have put that travel.
The first time was with Senator Miller's Subcommittee of Ways and Means during the session when the question of the Indian burial sites arose, and I respectfully refute Director Middle's assertion that that information was not relied upon in the ranking. I think Director Middle in her testimony has summed up exactly what the problem is, and I wrote it down so I could say it correctly. We got so busy and focused that we forgot to do something, and in my particular opinion, I think they forgot to conduct a fair process. The Scappoose site is indicative of just how poorly this process has run. Director Middle knew from the outset that the litigation issue was solved. She knew in great detail that the site had been studied extensively in preparation for mining. The record is as tall as I am. And it was a situation where they said, your site is drizzling with pesticides. It is loaded with lead paint contamination. It has abandoned sewage tanks on it. And oh, by the way, just in case that isn't enough, it has Indian burial sites. That process, where that kind of information is prepared by reputable consulting firms and allowed to become part of the record, speaks volumes about how inequitable and how poorly done this entire process has been. None of that was true. The record is as tall as I am. Never has a site been so thoroughly studied by so many at such expense, and yet DPSSC never availed themselves of any of those reports. I am at this point less concerned with selecting either Senator Yee's community or my community, because in all in a fair analysis, Salem may be the appropriate site. But I feel very strongly that we ought to have a process that is defensible, and this one simply isn't. We have asked three little communities to beg for jobs when the site was already selected, and as Senator Yee has pointed out, at great cost to private sector partners. The site in Scappoose that we were offering was a free site, with half of the infrastructure paid for. And until we absolutely insisted, DPSSC never reached out to the developer to even have a single conversation about what cost savings the citizens of Oregon would realize. I agree with Senator Yee that this process ought to be slowed. We ought to go back and review these numbers yet one more time. The outcome may be the same, but everybody can take no for an answer if they think they've had a square shot at the process. I am very discouraged that we have gotten so focused on getting a place cited that we're willing to do it in the absence of accurate information, and in fact have accepted patently flawed and demonstrably wrong information in the selection process. So I would request that we delay the decision on this. It won't hold the process up, given that the Capital Planning Commission will have to pass on this project in Salem. It's located in Marion County, so the argument that this delay will somehow kill the project doesn't hold water. And we ought to ask DPSST to go back and have a process that has more integrity than the process that they're presenting to you today. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I have testimony that speaks to a number of issues, none the least of which is, if DPSST were seriously contemplating siting at the Department of Corrections as late as 2000, in June of 1999, this master plan, prepared for the state of Oregon at a cost of nearly $100,000, doesn't mention DPSST. We are now scrapping the work of advisory committees, scrapping this work product at great expense prepared at the request of the state of Oregon, whose numbers disagree with the numbers that DPSST is presenting for infrastructure costs of the same site. There are simply too many irreconcilable differences to proceed with this project at this time. Thank you.
The decision was made by the committee to delay until January.
As I read this, it looks like the Department of Education only needs to evaluate if they have funding available. I guess you mean if they don't have funding available.
My belief is that we will lose a year, and it will be at least 2005 before we can get to any kind of an occupancy. And I have folks here who can probably speak to that better than myself because they need to do the work in that interim. But respectfully, we did delay this in May and did focus on the high-risk issues and did have folks back for this purpose so that we can say.